So I want you to think about phones for a minute, specifically mobile phones. And if as I describe the following conversation this has ever happened to you, feel free to raise your hand, because I'm guessing it's happened to at least a few of us. So you're talking on the phone, and suddenly you can hear the other person, but they can't hear you. And the conversation goes something like this. Jeremiah, are you still there? Yes, I am, Mom. Or Megan, or Rhonda from the credit union, or whoever, you know. And no, those are not all three hypothetical. Jeremiah, are you still there? Yes, I'm here. I can hear you. Can you hear me? And then it goes back and forth like this for a while, and eventually someone either hangs up or the phone call drops. Any of you ever had that experience? Seeing a few nods, seeing some hands. Good, good. Phone call needs to be a two-way street, right? If it's only communication one way, I would say in a sense that's worse than no communication at all, because when a phone call's always one way, you get frustrated, you get aggravated, and frankly, most of us do not make the best decisions in life when we are frustrated or aggravated. At least I don't. And sometimes when communication's not two-way, it can be even more serious. I was talking with somebody from our church earlier this past week, and he, I didn't realize this, was very interested in Amelia Earhart, the famous pilot from the 1930s. And he was talking to me about her last flight, a flight that ended tragically. Apparently, the radio on her plane was allowing her to speak out, and the people who she was talking to could hear her, but she could not receive any of their replies. And so she and her navigator were lost, and eventually her plane crashed and both of them died. Well, I offer today that our topic for today, prayer, is a means of communication. Now, fortunately, prayer is not fickle like cell phones. Prayer will not lead to a disaster like the failure of an airplane radio. But like both of those, for it to work, prayer needs to be two-way communication. It's not just one way, it's two ways. Now, this is the second in our sermon series on faithful resolutions. My experience is that in the midst of the early part of the year, as we make resolutions on many aspects of our lives, people often think to themselves, I should do something to improve and increase my faith in Jesus Christ, improve my relationship with God. And daily prayer is a great thing for people to start any time of year. Prayer lies at the very heart of a healthy relationship with God. And a healthy relationship with God makes every other aspect of our lives healthier, allows us to know God's blessings much more deeply, allows us to be a greater blessing to those around us. So let's turn to the scripture passage that Bruce read today. Jesus has been praying, and one of the disciples approaches him. Now, this disciple apparently knows that John the Baptizer, Jesus' cousin, also known as John the Baptist, had taught his followers to pray. And so this disciple of Jesus says, Lord, can you teach us to pray? Clearly, the disciple seems to think that prayer is an important part of having a relationship with God. And frankly, as the questions of the disciples go, this is one of the better ones they ask the entire gospel. And so Jesus replies in this way. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not bring us to a time of trial. Now, of course, this is a portion of the Lord's Prayer. There is a slightly different version of the Lord's Prayer that's also found in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is a prayer that we pray every week in church. It's a prayer that some of us may pray a lot more frequently than that. I don't know. And it serves as a model for prayer of every sort. Now, Jesus is not saying this is the only prayer you should ever say, but this is a prayer that shows us what prayer is to be about. If we are to have that two-way communication, if we are to have a deeper relationship with God through our prayer. So first in this prayer, Jesus reminds us that we need to remember who is God and who is human. When we say, hallowed be your name, we are remembering that God is greater than us. God is more powerful than us. God is more loving than us. God is wiser than us. God is the source of all good in existence. And yet God, though God did not need to, invites every human being into a life-changing relationship with God. But we need to remember when we pray that God is the creator and we are dust. And to dust we will someday return. But the good news is, whether it's a great day or whether we feel at the end of our rope, God wants a relationship with us. God loves us. God offers us the words of life, hope, direction, purpose, forgiveness, salvation through Jesus Christ. God longs to be in a deep relationship with us, and that relationship is always open to us. The second thing that Jesus says is that we need to remember that it is God's kingdom that is to come. It is God's will that is to be done. And if you'll pardon the expression, stick a pin in that. We're going to come back to it later. Next, Jesus reminds us that we need to ask for what we need. We need our daily bread. God knows that we need food and clothing and shelter. It is okay to ask for what we need. But we also need to remember that what we want and what we need are not the same thing. As many of you know, I love food, frankly, a little too much. And some of the stuff I love is kind of hard to get, or expensive, or not easy to get in this part of the country, at least. I like scallops and oysters and well-aged steak and Spanish manchego cheese, and I'll start drooling here if I go on. Here's the thing. I don't need any of those. I need my daily bread. I need a certain amount of healthy calories and nutrients to survive, and that's what all of us needs. Jesus says, ask for what you need, but remember that what you want and what you need won't always be the same thing. And it might be that once in a while we need to focus on only what we need so that we can share with those who do not have what they need. It's a very wise expression I heard when I was training to be a domestic missionary many years ago put it, live simply so that others might simply live. Next, Jesus reminds us that we need to ask for forgiveness from God. Now, I'll be honest, most of us don't like confessing our sins, do we? If I do something wrong, I don't want to admit it. I don't want to think about it. I want to pretend it didn't happen. But we need to confess our sins. We need to unburden ourselves. Sometimes one of the healthiest things we can do is to pour out our hearts to God and to admit, God, I really messed up. I need forgiveness and I need guidance on how I can make amends. And it is good for our hearts and our souls to unburden ourselves. We need to confess. It keeps us humble. It is healing and beneficial to us. And also, we need to remember, as it says, that we must forgive. Jesus reminds us constantly that forgiveness is at the heart of following him. Harboring grudges and nurturing resentments and wanting revenge and things like that, wanting to see the people we don't like fail, that is not part of the Christian walk. Bitterness and resentment and grudges can eat us alive. It's like a cancer inside of us. It literally can raise your blood pressure. It can give you ulcers. It can kill you. Now, we have to understand that forgiving others may not mean reconciliation. We will not reconcile with other people unless they want to reconcile with us. And sometimes we need to forgive someone who still isn't willing to admit that they've wronged us. But that's not the point. Forgiveness is so that our hearts can be cleansed, so that we can be healthier, so that love can grow more fully in our heart and God can more fully guide our lives. And finally, we ask God to keep us away from difficulties, from temptations. Basically, we're asking God, please guide us on the right path and help us not to go down the wrong path. Because let's be honest, if we don't listen to God, we might make some poor decisions. And we might have to pay for those decisions. And other people might have to pay as well. We need God's wisdom in our lives. And Jesus gives us this simple but powerful prayer. And then Jesus goes on more to talk about what prayer is and isn't and why it is important. Why it is vital for us to pray daily and sincerely, but also to remember that prayer is not just about asking for what we want, but opening ourselves up to what God wants to give us. Jesus gives us a couple of parables. The first is a parable of these two friends. The friend goes to his next door neighbor, bangs on the door. I need some food. I had somebody come by. I got a guest. I need to feed them. Now, in our culture, this is kind of weird. In that culture at that time, it was a religious, moral, ethical duty that if a guest comes to your house, you provide for them. You open your door to them, you welcome them in, and you provide for them. This theme runs throughout stories of Scripture from the Old Testament through the New Testament. To have food for a guest was a need. It was not a want. And so it was appropriate to go and bang on your neighbor's door and do what needed to be done. And your neighbor might not want to help you, but if you're persistent, your neighbor will help you. Well, here's the point. God is always listening. God is ready to enter into a relationship with us through prayer. God is willing to offer us the Holy Spirit in all moments. And God will give us better gifts and better blessing and better hope and purpose than the best friend ever could. And that takes us to the comparison also of the fish and the snake and the scorpion of the egg. Jesus is using this to say God is loving and God will give you what you can't imagine. God will give you better things than you can imagine and truly what you need. There is no conscientious human being who's going to give their child, or I hope any child, a snake if they ask for a fish, or a scorpion if they ask for an egg. Instead, we're going to provide for the children among us the things they need to be healthy and thrive. If we humans, who are frankly not perfect, know how to help a child, how much more will God help us, God who is perfect in love and wisdom? God offers to give us what we need, but we have to remember that when we hear, ask and you shall receive, God is interested in giving us what we need and what will help lead to God's kingdom. It will not necessarily be everything we want. I would like a 1957 Chevrolet Corvette with a white paint trim and a white top. Convertible, of course. I can pray and pray and pray for that. I doubt God's going to give it to me because I don't really need it. And I don't see any way that that's going to help bring the kingdom of God into this world. Rather, what Jesus is saying is that if we go to God, God will give us what we need and show us our purpose. But it may not always be easy. If you read the entire Gospel of Luke, Jesus at one point says, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. In other words, following Jesus means you might not have a home. Following Jesus says you might have to carry a cross. Sometimes following Jesus is not easy, but the blessing that we will feel and the blessing that we can give is much greater than what we think we want. Jesus says to us that God is always there. You can always go to God. You can always access God's love. There is no person who God does not love, and there is no person who God will turn God's back on. Every human being is a beautiful and beloved child of God, and there is nothing any of us can do about it. However, the blessing that God offers will not be truly felt unless we still ourselves and listen for it. I'm glad what one of the kids said, you know, that you may not hear God. Some people really do hear a voice when they hear God in their lives. Some people see visions. They get little glimpses. Some people dream dreams. Some people just feel a nudging and an urging in their heart that guides them into things that God wants them to do. I am going to assume that probably as many Christians as there have ever been, God has had at least that many different ways to try and get through to us. The point is, if all we do is talk and talk and talk and ask and ask and ask and demand and demand and demand, we're never going to still ourselves enough to hear God. I firmly believe that God desires health and dignity and justice for all people, and that God wants us all to know these things and to work for these things and to make sure that everyone knows that they are loved and forgiven in Jesus' name. God wants to give us the best things, things better than we can ever imagine. But if we can't ever listen, we won't really know which way to go. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't want to listen. I think you all have figured out I can say 100 words when one would do. I struggle with this myself. But it's in those times when we still ourselves. It's in those times when we do whatever we need to do to open our hearts and our minds and our ears to God that amazing, powerful blessings can come upon us. And we can get the direction and see how God is calling us to bless those around us. Speak. God is listening. But listen, because God is speaking. So it seems appropriate to close this sermon today with a prayer. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Christ, when we pray, may we be honest, may we be real, may we be sincere. May we truly open our hearts to you, and may we truly let you in to change our hearts and our lives. May we listen for the hope, the love, the comfort, and the direction you offer. And finally, may we be open to hearing and understanding how you are calling us to bless this world in your name. All this we pray, may the Holy Spirit guide us. Amen.